This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, that's Wes Durham. Wes playing fetch with Fuller, who's now totally engaged. He looks like Nolan Turner out there just picking passes left and right. That's what it looks like to me. Look like Justin Fields, just do another one and
there's Nolan Turner pulling it out of the
off
air.
It goes.
Speaking of,
let's bring him on, the star of the show, man. That was some kind of football game. Nolan, first of all, welcome. Happy New Year and all that good stuff.
Hey, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's do it. Dabo Swinney tells you, fourth quarter, Nolan, you're going to make the play, man. Head up. Let's go. You're going to make the interception to win the ball game. Walk us through that ordeal.
Yeah, he actually did say that, you know, the drive before he went out there. You know, was letting me know, you know, keep your head up. You're going to make a big play out there. And, you know, went out there and they're driving on us a little bit. And, you know, we're fortunate he threw 1-2 as we made a play.
All right, so when you make the play, you come back to the sideline. What was that exchange?
Oh, man, it was special. You know, right then, you know, I kind of sealed the deal for the game. And, you know, just having all my teammates there with me. And it was just a really special moment.
Did Coach look you, though, in the eye and say, I told you so? Or did you tell him, I told you so, Coach?
Yeah, he kind of looked at me and said, you know, he's like, I have witnesses. I called that one. And how he is. And I was like, yeah. You said that. But, yeah, it was a cool moment for us.
You know, you kind of walk into, you know, the college football playoff lore a little bit because you've had picks in each of the last two semis. I kind of wonder how you look at that role. Is it just another game, Nolan, to you? I mean, you're such a football guy. I mean, the sport's important to you, important to your family. How does this relate to you?
Yeah, you know, it's just another game. You know, we treat each week the same. And, you know, I just go out there and try to do my 111 each game, each play. And, you know, to have, you know, a pick in each semifinal game is, you know, it's a really cool memory. It's a cool moment for me. But, yeah, we just go out there and you treat it like every other game. And, you know, the moment's not too big.
Is that the secret to your guys' success? The fact that you keep it simple, don't ever get ahead of yourself. You know, don't rest on what you've done. Just kind of play for the moment.
Yeah, for sure. You know, just, you know, how we prepare our culture. You know, we treat Wofford like we do Alabama or, you know, Notre Dame or Ohio State. You know, every week is the same in our preparation and how we work and our mindset, you know, going into the game. And, you know, we just take a lot of pride in the preparation each week and, you know, just the details. And that's why we're so successful.
Your story, your family's story with Dabo Swinney is very unique and special. Can you believe how this whole thing is starting to play itself out again, possibly winning another national championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. The success we've had the last, you know, 4 years since I've been here. And, you know, it's just super special to be a part of. I'm super grateful. And, you know, I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else than these guys we have on this team. It's just a super special group of, you know, a lot of committed people, a lot of uncommon people, and it's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
Obviously, the tie between your dad and Dabo from their playing days for Coach Stallings at Alabama is one thing, but your relationship with Dabo also is fairly developed. Do you remember the first time you met Coach Swinney, and was he Coach Swinney then, or was he just, hey, here's a guy that, you know, was my dad's teammate at Alabama?
Yeah, you know, their relationship went way back, and I think the first time I met him, he was Coach Swinney. You know, I think he's always been a football coach, and you know, it's been special to see our relationship develop over these years since I've been here as well. And yeah, so it's been great. He's been a great mentor and coach for me.
You've seen some incredible athletes to go up against. I know that you probably take a little snapshot of LSU already and said, boys, we got some frisbee catching dogs we got to deal with down there in New Orleans. What's your take LSU on tape so far?
Oh, man, they're great. You know, super athletic. Receivers are fantastic. Their running back's a baller. You know, they got the Heisman Trophy down there and Joe Burrow. They got a great offense, and they've obviously they've got the numbers to prove it. And, you know, they've had a very successful year, and, you know, we're looking forward to the challenge going down to – New Orleans down their hometown and, you know, playing them in this national championship game.
Nolan, I was one of the guys who pinpointed that, you know, prior to the game with Ohio State, I thought one of the benefits that Clemson had was that you've been to the stage. You understand the concept of the playoff. How valuable is that now with this kind of extra, what, pack, 5-6 days added to the calendar in this? How valuable is the college football playoff experience the last couple of years for you? But in particular, now after the Ohio State win to get ready for another game, how valuable is that?
Well, yeah, I'd say, you know, we plan on, you know, coming to this game and we, you know, we schedule our year for this. So it's, you know, I guess it's expected for us. It's what we, you know, plan on doing. So we've had, you know, we've gotten used to, you know, having this extended season and, you know, playing all the way up to this last game. So, you know, we got a lot of guys that have just been there and just know what it takes and, you know, just know what the season's like and, you know, how long it is and the longevity and, you know, just, you know, having to play, you know, through January almost. And I think it helps, just to have that experience and from these leaders that we have on this team.
No, going back to the Ohio State game, I'm not so sure. And again, you can answer this one better than anybody else. From a physicality standpoint, I mean, you've been there 4 years. Was that the most physical, grueling game you participated in as a Tiger?
Yeah, there's been a few. That one's definitely up there. They were, man, Ohio State was great. You know, give a lot of credit to them. They're a super athletic team. Just had, you know, playmakers all over the field. And, you know, that was a tough, you know, 15-round fight that we had to go through there. And, you know, it just says a lot about this team and just the fight and heart that they had, you know, to come back from a 16-0 deficit and, you know, pull that one out. It's just, it was really special.
All right, a couple of things here. Pac and I get into this every once in a while with guys who play with great players. Comparatively now, what's the craziest thing you've seen Isaiah Simmons do?
The craziest thing I've seen Isaiah Simmons do.
And it doesn't have to be football. I mean, he might have played pickup basketball and dunked it on three guys. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. He
just seems to be like this, you know, other world athlete out there when he plays.
Yeah. Just the amount of ground that he can cover in such a small amount of time is incredible. You know, you'll see him, you know, maybe get beat or something in a one-on-one, and then his just recovery speed is incredible. And he's so long that I don't know how you beat the guy. He's just such a phenomenal athlete. You know, I'd probably say another story. I've seen him, you know, appear at, you know, the rec center playing basketball, you know, 360 windmill, you know, whatever, dunk a basketball. And it's incredible. He can really do it all. He's a fun player to play with, man. He's, extremely hard worker. And, you know, and that makes it special when you got a guy that's that talented that, you know, puts so much into it.
All right. Second part of the question is this. When you guys are out there, and I know that the practice element is a real key to Clemson's overall deal here. I mean, we've heard about the competitive practice situations. Dabo's talked to us about it. Other guys on your team have. So when the offense goes on the field, who's the one guy that you sit there and go, oh, no, I got to tangle with this cat right now?
Usually Amari. You know, me and Amari will be matched up in the slot and stuff. And he's just, you know, he's so good and his routes and his technique. And, you know, then it helps that he's one of the faster guys on the team. And, you know, he's just so crisp in everything he does. And he's a technician. And, you know, he makes it tough to cover out there. And he's gotten me better since I've been here. And, you know, it's fun to, you know, go out there and, you know, try to cover him every day and stuff. But, and, you know, also sitting back there and having Trevor at quarterback, you know, trying to pick us apart on offense. You know, we all go back and forth, you know, chirping at each other, but, you know, it makes it fun. Iron sharpens iron, and, you know, we have a great offense to, you know, get to help us get prepared.
Nolan, after the way Trevor Lawrence responded after getting hit and talked about it this week, saying, hey, I got ticked off, is there a new game plan to tick him off before kickoff for LSU and keep him in that mindset for at least 60 minutes?
Oh, man, he's a tough dude. I mean, he exemplified toughness the other night, you know, the hits he took and just, you know, just as a leader and a competitor to bounce back and just, you know, keep going. And, you know, we get down early and that didn't, you know, he didn't hang his head and, you know, just came back and, you know, just led and was a leader and, you know, just put on a show.
All right. You're a financial management major. We ask every student athlete that comes on the show, The hardest class you've had at Clemson University is what?
Probably my first accounting class. I think it was accounting 201 or 2010. Wasn't a
Let me tell you something. This is the God honest truth. I started in financial management.
How'd that go?
Awful. You know why?
Why?
Accounting. My first accounting class, I swear to you, I made a 16. I got 4 of 25 multiple choice questions. The only reason I hung around for a while in that class is because the girl sitting beside me was a 10 on a 10 scale. And so I hung out as far as I could do until the professor said, Packer, you have no chance. Get out of here. So I dropped that and went on to economics, and the rest is history. So I can completely, totally understand the accounting question.
There you go.
There it is.
Are you saying it gets easier after accounting and financial management at Clemson, Nolan?
I think that first one might be a little weed out class. So you know, once you get through there, you can make it. But that one's tough.
You know what? It all works out. Now I'm down here in the basement with Lester and feeding dogs, talking to you. It all works out.
There you go. Hey, Nolan, thanks for the time. Great to have you with us. And we wish you a lot of luck in New Orleans. Look forward to seeing you down there.
Thank y'all.
Nolan Turner, great safety of the Clemson Tigers with us.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, his dad, Kevin, played fullback at Alabama on the national championship team in 1992. Ended up with ALS, passed away a few years ago. The relationship between Kevin Turner and Dabo Swinney was very tight. You've read probably three or four, you know, stories that are out there that are very good. The tremendous ESPN E60 story that was done a couple of years ago about the relationship and KT's last months. And essentially Nolan being taken care of by Dabo in this process. And Dabo was one of the guys who spoke at Kevin's funeral and all those type things. And Ian Fitzsimmons spoke of it last week when he was with us. Kevin Turner was part of a great college football team. Mm-hmm. We throw that term around a lot. The 1992 Alabama team was great.
Yeah.
Copeland, Curry, Langham, London, good heavens, Chris Anderson, Jay Barker, Todrick Malone, you name it.
They've had a few down there.
Yeah, but that was a great football team. And Dabo aside, it's the kind of Lemansky Hall. I mean, I can throw my first broadcast as the voice of the Venerable Commodores in 1992.
You saw enough of them, didn't you? Well,
first game.
Yeah.
Bryant Denny Stadium. And Eric Dahlberg, this guard for Vanderbilt, thought he was really good. And then all of a sudden, Eric Curry split him with a hurdle. I totally respect the emotional side of that relationship. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
That's the bond. And there was something said yesterday at the end of the Minnesota Auburn game. And, I'm drawing a blank. Was that the Brian Greasy game? Was Brian Greasy and, was that Steve? Yeah. Steve Levy and Brian Greasy were doing that game, I think, yesterday.
I'm not in the broadcasters as much as you are.
I don't follow you. What was, gotta get some better games, son.
That's what I've been saying lately.
Here's the thing. And I thought of this just as we were talking to Nolan about that. Yesterday when Minnesota won, they beat Auburn. Okay. Think about 25 years from now what that's going to mean to that Minnesota team.
Oh, no question. It was a great win for them.
Yeah. And just think about the teams that have some success and what that means as they write history, right? So, anyway, just an interesting note on that side alone and fascinating to see. When we come back, oh, a staple of the Packer and Durham show.
We haven't done it all year.
How long have you been waiting to use that line?
3 minutes ago.
Okay.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Can I share something here with you real quick? I know the boys are teed up and ready to go with fill in the blank. Our friend Peter Burns, down the dial, said in just a piece of research, in their last 20 games against top 15 teams on the road or in neutral sites, Michigan is 0-20.
Right, 0-20. That's correct.
20 straight losses against top 15 teams?
Yeah.
Last win was 2007?
They used that on television yesterday.
That's crazy.
No, that's just terrible. It's not crazy. You know what that is?
August national champion material.
That is, you know what? You have a nice fringe top 20 program. You got great tradition and history, but you are not a factor is what that is. That's all that is.
That's crazy.
No, I just told you. It's not terrible. Crazy. It's terrible. 0-20.
Sometimes stuff like that kind of pulls the plastic back on a program, doesn't it?
Without a question. I mean, that's when
2007 was their last top 15 road win
or neutral site. Right. 13 years, Michigan football.
Don't be telling me how good you are in August.
Well, they are. They're good. That's exactly the problem. They're good, but the conversation around those folks is that, hey, it's us in Ohio State. No, Ohio State's over here, and you guys are back over here, down there somewhere. Not even close. Two different stratospheres. It doesn't mean that Michigan's not a good team. They're fine. They're fine. They're a top 20
fringe
team. I wonder what
the record of other programs would be in that time frame.
That'll give you something to do this afternoon.
No, I got plenty.
Come on, man.
I got basketball this weekend. 12 noon Saturday. Malcolm Huckabee and I'll be at Little John. There he is right there. My broadcast partner Saturday. Malcolm Huckabee. Yeah, right there.
That's a guy right there.
That's it. Malcolm. Teeing it up. Ready to go. He brought us a rookie card. For the basement.
Yep.
I respect
right
that.
Got it right here.
Yeah, it's awesome. Put it right there by your daughters and you.
Yep.
All right. Time for fill in the blank, kids.
Let's do it.
Is this a staple?
You said it was going to break, so it must be.
Josh, Drew, is this a staple of the show?
It's totally a staple.
All right. All good. Right.
Kidding me?
Reprising his role from the Championship Drive podcast of decades, hashtag walk-ons. Here is and not
89 consecutive years. Of Championship Drive / Campus Conversation.
By the way, Drew, did you soak in the Frosted Flake celebration to your man, Herm Edwards, which I thought was spectacular, even though I wish our teams would have won?
That was great. I actually sent Robert, who's in the studio with you guys, a couple of boxes, hoping that he would do the same to you after today's show. But stay tuned. What was that, 9:56:50?
All right. Head on swivel. All right, what do we got?
Robert pours Frosted Flakes over top of us. There's going to be a fight in the driveway.
Well, I'm going to be hungry. I can tell that. That sounds pretty good, to be honest with you.
All right, let's go.
Should we cancel the re-air then, just to keep the cameras rolling?
Yeah, let's go.
Fill in the blank. You lead.
Fill in the blank, guys. It is now 2020. Breaking news. The ACC school that will have the most athletic success this year is blank.
I'm going to say North Carolina.
Overall, top to bottom, you're going Carolina.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's how we're reading this, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about athletic program?
Complete athletic program.
From a number of sports to the excellence, which is women's soccer and field hockey, et cetera, et cetera, I think they will have more success than anybody else.
Okay. All right.
Mac Brown's got that thing turned around the right way. Hoops is hoops. Baseball is really good, too. I think North Carolina's the answer.
Lacrosse
is good.
I'm going to add Virginia.
Right, they've been on a roll.
I'm going to add Virginia, only because I think they got a challenge in there, too. So, and no doubt that Syracuse has had a good Louisville's had a good start, I should say.
Question.
Football, basketball.
Baseball is going to be number one preseason.
Baseball is going to be number one preseason. We got a lot of customers for that. All right, next, please.
Next, according to BPI, NC State is the fourth best team in the ACC. According to you guys, the Wolfpack is the blank best team in the conference.
All right, just for a point of clarity here, BPI is Basketball Power Index. Is that right?
Sure, why not?
That's correct.
All right. Right now, today, what do you think, Fuller?
That's about right.
Four?
We just did accounting, didn't we?
Yeah.
Just look it up where we have NC State, four or five. I think it's in the neighborhood.
I'm going to say four.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Looking at some of their numbers and kind of where they are, NC State's bringing the scoring edge right now and the fact that they can score the basketball in a variety of different ways. I think they've also upgraded the schedule, obviously, which is going to help them. come postseason. I think the other part about NC State that fascinates me is the flexibility that Kevin Keats has got with his lineup, especially bringing C.J. Bryce and D.J. Funderburk off the bench. So
North Carolina and Virginia's early struggles for the first 2 months has opened up the doors for State and State, Florida State and NC State.
I agree.
And I think that's kind of where we are.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see how this thing plays out. NC State on the road this weekend at Little John taking on Clemson. They'll be probably favored to play the Tigers are playing.
Okay. All right, next.
Disappointing New Year's Eve, of course, for the ACC on the gridiron, but that notwithstanding, bowl season thus far has been blank for the conference.
Average. I mean, 4-5 is the record. BC plays today against Cincinnati. They will be an underdog. If you win the game, great. You go 5-5. Clemson's still got one left for the national championship. But you know what? I think we had a over and under on ACC bowl wins, and I think the number you guys threw on us was 7, and we thought that was a little high. Thought Virginia Tech was going to get one this past week. Didn't. So, you know what? I think the bowl season's just been average for the ACC. 4-5.
Yeah, I'll go average. I was hoping for 6 of the 10. Yeah, but of the 10.
Let me get 6 of 11.
Yeah, yeah, I was hoping for 6. I thought Carolina would win. Thought Pitt would win a lot more convincing. Can I say that?
W's a W.
I thought Clemson would beat Ohio State. I thought Wake Forest could get Michigan State.
Close, had a chance.
Virginia played well against Florida. Had Virginia beaten Florida, that would have been one that you stole a little bit, because I thought Florida was a better team when Virginia would be challenged in a lot of different ways.
But at the end of the day, as I mentioned to you leading off the show today, the ACC 4-5 in the bowl season, not great, just okay.
Right.
But it could be worse. I mean, the Big 12 finished up last night with Baylor losing, going 1-5. The only win, Texas knocking off Utah. So, take it for whatever it's worth. I thought we'd get maybe a couple more, but we didn't. So that's where we are.
All right, what's next, sir?
A couple more here. Of course, as we all remember, UVA got the best of Virginia Tech in football this season, but blank will have the edge when those two schools meet up on the hardwood on Saturday.
This is a good game. I'm telling you, this is a really, really interesting game. Virginia's D is always terrific, but can they score enough? And if Virginia Tech makes shots, Wes, they're in business. They can win this thing.
I think Virginia can defend. My question is, can Virginia score? The X factor in this game could be Braxton Key and P.J. Horn, only because of what they do for their respective teams. I'm going to say that Virginia Tech has the edge. I think they just shoot it better.
Yeah, I mean, their upside is dangerous in a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they make shots, I just don't know how Virginia balances that off. I mean, they're going to have to play. I mean, they're going to play great D. But like I said, there's two or three games this weekend on the hardwood for the men. This is one of them to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
I do believe that. Very interesting ball game coming up Saturday afternoon in Charlottesville, for sure. All right,
last one. From the men's game to the women's game, of the 4 ranked women's teams in action tonight, blank will come away with a W.
All right, number 7, Louisville is at Clemson. Number 9, NC State hosts Virginia Tech. 23rd ranked Miami is at Georgia Tech. And number 8, Florida State is at Syracuse. I'm going to say 3. Pack?
I'm going to say all of them.
Okay.
I think they're going to all hold serve.
All right.
And there does seem to be a little separation on the women's side so far in hoops. I mean, we've got a handful of teams that are really good, and then everybody else on a given night can surprise you.
Yeah.
But I think the ranked teams hold serve on the hardwood tonight.
Yeah. Good year for women's basketball, by the way, in the ACC. If you're Florida State, by the way, is 2-0. Everybody else has played just one league game coming into tonight's action. Full card of women's basketball. We'll talk about it in our final hour.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Again, Happy New Year to everybody. We will be back tomorrow, at least scheduled to. Guys on ACC Network. All right, let's bring him on. Roddy Jones joins us. Roddy, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, guys. I'm great. How are you all?
We're good. Can't complain.
So, good New Year's Eve for you?
Yeah, it was. You know, it's funny because mentally going into New Year's Eve, you know, I'm the same as I was about 10 years ago, really excited about it. You know, the wife and I went out, but physically the recovery time is a little bit longer than it was 10 years ago. So for my 10-year challenge, it was going to, like, take a picture of me the day after New Year's and just let everybody know how quickly things catch up to you.
Yeah, probably a good idea, Roddy. I definitely would do that if I were you. Yeah, that'll work. All right, let's get to football before somebody gets hurt. How would you describe the ACC's performance so far in the bowl season?
I think it's been disappointing. I don't think it says anything necessarily about the league as a whole. Like, people like to draw these grand conclusions about the league based on bowl games. The fact of the matter is, bowl games are kind of random. The motivation factor obviously plays a big part, but I think it's disappointing. You know, you go to Miami's performance, that's disappointing. You look at what Florida State did, turning the ball over like it was going out of style, that's disappointing. And then some of these other results. I mean, Virginia Tech had a chance to win a couple of days ago and weren't able to get the job done. So I think all in all, it's probably been disappointing. Look, there weren't a lot of layups, to be honest with you, in the bowl season that were going to boost up the conference's record. So you had to have some of those 50-50 games, and really none of the 50-50 games have gone the way of the ACC. They've all gone the opposite way, with the exception of Louisville. So it's just kind of one of those things that happens over the course of bowl season. But the league certainly could have at least hoped for a better performance during the bowl season.
All right, how many people were able to use the bowl game to finish 19 and catapult themselves in 20? I see Carolina as a team that took the Military Bowl and said, you know what, we've had a really good 19, but we're getting ready to finish 19 strong, and we're going to be on your mind for 20. Other schools like Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, they leave 19 and go to 20 the same way we've kind of been thinking about them in 19, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Miami and Florida State in particular probably burn the game tape and never ever watch it and just flush it and move to 20 immediately. Virginia Tech's going to have some opportunity to learn from it, I think, because that's a defense and really a team that's largely going to come back. Most of those guys are going to be able to use it as a learning experience, and it can kind of be a motivating factor. Because that was like the ultimate situation. It was like playing triple option football against Kentucky. Like, you know what's coming, and you still can't stop it because the dude running, it's just that good. So that was tough. But when you look at Louisville, like, that's a springboard for them. I even think Virginia, the way that they performed through much of the Orange Bowl, that's going to be something where Bronco Mendenhall, in his way, says, hey, look, we took a step. Are we a top 10 team yet? No. And you played a top 10 team in Florida, but we are making progress. So the results have been, like you said, it's mixed. I think the bowl game kind of is what you make of it. And for most of these teams, to be quite honest with you, they're going to want to flush 2019 and move on to 2020 quickly. Your point on North Carolina was a really good one, though, because that's a team that, with that offensive explosion, is going to be one of the best offenses in the country next year. So they're probably the biggest one that takes this game, or takes the bowl performance, as a springboard to next year.
What do you think you're going to see this afternoon at Boston College?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. Look, Cincinnati's a really, really good team. And had Desmond Ridder, their quarterback, not gotten hurt down the stretch, I mean, who knows how they're playing. Defensively, they've been salty for years, to be honest with you, with the way Marcus Freeman's calling that defense. And Luke Fickell's got a good squad. So I'm curious to see what Boston College runs out there with. Obviously, with Rich Gannell being the interim coach, and Jeff Hafley coming in, I don't think Boston College is not going to be motivated, but it's a tough assignment for them no matter what, especially that defense. Cincinnati hasn't been lighting it up on offense, but they're good enough to get the job done, and Michael Warren's a really good back. So I expect him to compete. I think it's an uphill battle for them to win the game because Cincinnati's just that good.
Well, I think the other part is we get to see David Bailey as the feature back, and if I'm Jeff Hafley and I'm coming in next year to run my offense, I want to look at 26 and see what he's like as the lead thumper, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, the A.J. Dillon and he made probably the most fearsome duo of big backs maybe in the country. I mean, that's 300 pounds, excuse me, 500 pounds, 250 each, 500 pounds of running back coming at you over the course of the game. And we saw what that can do to a defense in person, Wes. I mean, that Syracuse game was a perfect example of it. The question is going to be, what can David Bailey be? If I'm Jeff Hafley, I'm also looking at this offensive line that largely comes back intact. And just how good they're going to be. They've got some questions next year for Jeff Hafley to answer, particularly quarterback and on defense. But the offensive line's exciting. The running back's exciting. So you got some pieces to work with.
Roddy, I want to jump here real quick, and we're going to go through three or four little topics. There's one here that is interesting, and it's some news that's come out of NC State. And this has kind of been, I don't want to say, you know, glossed over. Dave Doran's made some pretty significant coaching changes here in the last, 72 hours?
Yep.
He just announced that Tim Beck is coming from Texas to be the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. Des Kitchings has not been retained. He's also changed his defensive side. And we go back to the whole Tony Gibson conversation here. But also, George McDonald has been reassigned as the pass game coordinator and assistant head coach. Take me through what you think of what's happening in Raleigh here.
Well, on the defensive side of the football, I thought the writing was kind of on the wall before last year when Tony Gibson was hired as the safeties coach. They come out game one when we saw them, and it looked like Tony Gibson's defense at West Virginia. It was that 3-3-5 look. Where you get the three linebackers on the field, and that was a complete departure, but it was much more Tony Gibson than it was Dave Huxtable. So I thought that the writing was kind of on the wall there. When you look at the offensive changes, I just think it goes to show you that when Eli Drinkwitz left, Dave Doran took a chance with Des Kitchings, as you do with anybody, but took a chance on him and wasn't necessarily pleased with what he got on the offensive side of the football in terms of development. So you go out, you find somebody that can help coach up your quarterbacks. It's going to run a different style of offense, or maybe just you know, a different style of play calling. But when you go 4-8, no matter what the injuries were a big part of that, but no matter what the injuries are, I think he was displeased with the results on the field and maybe the development on the field over the course of the year. So it's not abnormal to see, obviously, after a season like NC State had. I was not at all surprised on the defensive side of the football. I was, I guess, a little surprised on offense, but again, the results just weren't there. And I think the lack of an answer at quarterback, you know, no matter where you put the blame on that, the lack of an answer at quarterback certainly was a big part of it. I think Dave Doran knew he had to do something after the type of season that they had.
Were you surprised about Jamie Newman in the transfer portal?
I was. You kind of felt like one of those guys was going to leave, and the whispers were always about Sam Hartman. Because he seemed to be the odd man out. But, you know, whatever Jamie Newman's reasons are, the fact that he graduated, you know, you commend him for that. And I was a little surprised that he decided to leave, especially because of some of the guys that have decided to come back. I mean, Boogie Basham coming back makes them a defense that's going to be able to get after the quarterback. You know, maybe he knows, he has a coach out there, a program that he wants to go to. There have already been some rumors and whispers. Look, if I'm one of these ACC teams that has quarterback issues, I'm calling them just to see. There's one in that state that we just talked about that, you know, if I'm NC State, I probably give them a call too. Just to see, you know, hey, you want to stay close to home and, you know, put on a different uniform, but, I was surprised by that. You know, I'm not going to try and get into the reasons because nobody really knows, but it was one of those. It's like, oh man, this completely changes the dynamic of the league. particularly if he decides to lead the league at quarterback, because this was looking towards next year. It looked like it was going to be a really good quarterback year, and it still will be, but that certainly takes a hit.
Roddy, I said in hour one, this might be the new norm in college football, where it used to be, you know, two quarterbacks get you through 5 years. Now all of a sudden you got to have three to get through four, it seems like.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You almost have to bring in a quarterback or two every year. I mean, look at what Clemson does. They lose guys all the time and just keep rolling. Now it helps when you have, you know, all-timers, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence almost back-to-back. But look at all the quarterbacks that they've scared off. Look at Ohio State's quarterback room from a couple years ago and how many quarterbacks they've had transfer. I mean, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma has quarterbacks leave all the time, and we don't really pay attention to that because he's always got an influx of quarterbacks coming in. So, yeah, I think it is the new normal. The quarterback position is so it's different than the rest of, obviously, the positions on the field because of its importance to the game. And only one of those dudes plays. So barring injury, once you get in there, it's not like a running back where you're going to rotate. You know, the whole Florida thing that you saw the other day with Kyle Trask and Emory Jones both playing, that's a rarity in college football. So you got to bring in a quarterback basically every year, if not a couple, and just be ready for the attrition that's naturally going to occur once you find a guy, particularly when that guy is young, or when you have a quarterback that aspires to go and see if he can play for play at a higher level, which it seems like Jamie Newman's doing. So, look, I wouldn't want to be a head coach and have to deal with managing a quarterback room, but it is one of the new normal things.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. Thanks for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Roddy Jones, ACC Network football analyst, joining us here on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
How you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good, man.
I know it is.
Well, you could just go out and make sure everything was okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Check everything out.
The owls are out there.
Everybody,
we're good.
Everybody good? Were we running around chasing the owls?
Yes.
Is that what was happening?
Amongst other things.
Amongst other things.
That's what we were doing.
Chester in charge again?
No, I was in charge this time.
Oh, were you?
That's why everyone was lost during the commercial break.
Hey, Devin Vassella joined us coming up top of the hour. Boy, Florida State now. Don't forget now, loss on opening night. Huh?
I'm buying the Noles.
I know you are. Noles lost a tough one on opening night at Pittsburgh. They've come back. The only other loss they've got, Indiana, Big Ten Challenge. It's only other loss.
And Leonard, by the way, is feeling it. You ever follow him on Twitter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Coach Ham, he's a man. We got plenty to get into. Basketball. Told you about Duke the other night. Blue Devils look good. Trey Jones obviously makes all the difference in the world. Vernon Carey was outstanding. Matthew Hurt, career high 25 the other night for the Blue Devils as they pounded Boston College. Miami used overtime, second overtime game of the year in ACC play to win at Clemson. Interesting ball game. Chris Likes, 27 for the Canes of Jim Larrañaga, who hosts Duke on Saturday.
You know, Miami, we talked about this last time we did the show.
Yes, we did.
The Canes are one of those teams that can make shots.
Mm-hmm.
They can get on a run. Clemson in overtime couldn't throw it in the ocean.
That's
they couldn't
it.
Throw it in Lake Hartwell. And you know what? Brad Brunell's guys are 0-3, Wes, with NC State coming to town.
Uh-huh.
They've been number 15 on our list when we do accounting. That could be a problem spot in the upstate. But Miami is one of these teams that could be one of those floaters that can get on a run just because they can score.
Right.
They proved that.
Yeah, the other team that, and I think you mentioned Virginia Tech earlier, and that's the one you want to keep an eye on. I start kind of looking at the way this league is built here. This week to week is going to be interesting because of the unknowns at each of the levels. You know, we had those top four at the start. Now we swapped out maybe NC State a little bit, and Carolina's down, maybe not scoring the way we thought. Will that change? Jeremiah Francis in the lineup, Anthony Harris's injury at this point.
Well, it'll change the day Cole Anthony comes back.
Yeah, and where does that stand?
And who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, then you got the Virginia scenario. We talk about that. Then you get to that group in the middle, Pittsburgh, Syracuse,
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah, who you feeling about? Georgia Tech. Although the other day, you know, the Jackets turn it over 20 times.
Well, and
but Florida State makes you do that,
well,
too.
Well, I was going to say, there's no shame in losing to Florida State because they put so many dudes on you, and they're going to turn you over left and right. And, you know, Leonard will go 12 deep, and we'll get in all that with Devin coming up here at the top of the hour. But Florida State, NC State have really, I think, positioned themselves to be upper third teams here in this league.
Yeah. So who do you think – let's see. Here's our question. The school that has the most to prove – maybe, and let qualify it like this.
It's a hard one to answer.
Maybe you've seen what they do in the preseason or the non-conference season, and now it's time to take on, you know, their schedule, the league. Who do they play twice? Where do they play the one? You know, that kind of thing.
You know how
plus, we're dealing with 20 games now.
I would answer that question with Virginia and North Carolina because they were teams that we assumed were going to be top 10. We assumed that the battles with Louisville and Duke were going to be tied into Virginia and North Carolina. We don't feel that way right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to, you know, it could change in a moment's notice. But Virginia Tech this weekend, to me, is one of those games that you're going to learn something about this conference in terms of the pecking order. And I know it's just one game, but this is kind of a momentum thing, Wes. You can't have weeks where all of a sudden you go 0-2. Because you will fall in a millisecond. Well, so I think Virginia and North Carolina are the two teams that's how I would answer that. Even though there's a lot of different ways you could go about it in terms of middle tier teams that could go upper tier. But North Carolina, Virginia, like I said, we all assumed that those were top 10 teams. Right now, they are not.
Brandon Robinson, career high 20 the other night against Yale. But Yale is not anybody in the ACC. Be interesting to see kind of how the Tar Heels handle the resumption of conference play with a 1-1 mark in the league. And again, the, you know, waiting on the return of Cole Anthony.
Like, what, like, for, if I asked you, what is Syracuse? Who are the Orange? How would you answer that question? If I said Syracuse basketball, who are they?
That's a good question, Pac. I think that's one of the things you have to be mindful of is how volatile this has gotten. I mean, this is really, really volatile basketball.
They will give you 97 on the road at Georgia Tech. They'll give you 34 at home against Virginia.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what is that?
Well, here I did some kind of – there's one team in the league that is top three in scoring offense and scoring defense in non-conference.
Non-conference? Who is that?
Louisville.
Louisville. Okay.
That's the only team – that is top five. Actually, Florida State is fourth in scoring offense and seventh in scoring defense. Let me give you Virginia. To no surprise, Virginia is the number one scoring defense in the ACC.
Yeah, but that's not the problem.
They're the number 15 scoring offense.
Right. That's a problem.
Right. Carolina is the number 10 scoring offense and the number 11 scoring defense.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I said Virginia and North Carolina is how I would answer that question, because they are very different than what we anticipated them being before the season started.
By the way,
you can't change it, but as of today, January 2nd, there's a lot of work to be done.
By the way, Louisville is also the only school in the top five in field goal percentage and field goal percentage defense. See, I think the upside of the Cards, what Louisville has is details. What other teams have is a project.
Yeah, but do you trust the guard play?
At Louisville?
Yeah.
I think the guard...
consistently.
Well, I think Louisville's guard play does not have to be great for them to be good. How's that?
Well, I'm not asking them to be great. Do you trust them?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think Kimball's done a fine job. I think McMahon gives them, obviously, tremendous lift. I think he can also handle the ball a little bit. And I think here's the thing that you know, Luke Hancock brought this up the other day. The thing that worries you about Louisville is the younger guys you were counting on, Williamson, David Johnson, guys like that, I think they're going to be fine. But you haven't seen enough early to give you ultimate confidence in that, right?
About Jordan Ward this week against Florida State.
Better be good.
Because he's going to get hit with athletes, man. They're going to put waves on Jordan Ward.
Well, and this is where – and we'll talk to Devin Vassell about this. the mentality and the mindset of Florida State's success in the last couple of years, I think, is a big advantage Saturday.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that they win, by the way.
That when we get back on Monday, like I said, there's two or three that jump out at me this weekend. Those are two. Yeah. Virginia Tech, Louisville, Florida State.
I think you're right.
Important games. Really, really interesting.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.